All right, we can begin.
Okay, before we get started, I'm going to ask that everybody that's on a speakerphone to make sure that the background noise is turned down, or ask the people in the area to please be quiet so that everybody can hear what's going on. Okay?
Okay.
First item is call to order, and we will have a Pledge of Allegiance. On my mark, we will start. Ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance,
to the flag
of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Now we'll have a moment of silence for our service personnel and first responders. Thank you. Roll call, please.
Director Sanderson?
Here.
Director Morris?
Here.
Director Wargo?
Here.
Director Israel? Absent. Director Link?
Here.
General Manager Calvin Louie?
Here.
All right, and then Cindy Byram was on the line. Jordan and Kim from NDS were on the line. And I have Carrie Mariner from the public on the line. Was there anybody else on the line that was not announced? All right, I think that is a no.
Okay, first item is approval of the minutes for the last meeting of the Finance and Audit Committee and the regular board meeting minutes. I need a motion, please.
Director Wargo, I make a motion that we approve.
Cut quality. Which one of these is going to cut?
I second the motion.
So I have a motion to approve the Finance and Audit Committee meeting minutes and warrants of October 20th, 2020, and the regular board meeting minutes and warrants of October 20th, 2020, made by Director Wargo, second by Director Sanderson. Director Sanderson?
Aye.
Director Morris?
Aye.
Director Wargo?
Aye.
Director Israel is absent. Director Link?
Aye.
Item number two, warrants. There is none. Item number three, award of contracts. We have A, which is Well 1 Rehab and Re-Equip Project with Legend Pumps and Well Service per the last board meeting of the 20th of October, and the Tank 1 Rehabilitation and Re-Equip Project with Simpson Sandblasting and Special Coatings as per the board meeting of October 20th, 2020. Updates, the San Gregorio Pass Regional Water Alliance update. Mrs. Morris, was there a meeting?
Sorry, I had it on mute. As indicated in August, I was not attending the meetings because Director Israel was attending them to save the money.
I attended the...
I didn't know she wasn't attending the meeting tonight.
Okay.
I was there attending the meeting, and if you like, I can provide a few comments.
Please do.
They discussed the site reservoir project, which is in the Beaumont Cherry Valley Water District. And Jeff Davis, who's retired GM from San Gregorio Pass, is their vice chair. The regional urban water management plan, you know, as a small district, we are not obligated to configure or generate that report. However, that is moving forward. The issue that they're addressing at this time is still transferring that from Oroville Dam down to Southern Cal, they're still talking about harming the Delta smelts, which is a little guppy in the San Sacramento River, and they're allowing all that water to just waste out into the ocean. So that has been a concern. Let's see what else is here. The new general manager from San Gregorio Pass Water Agency, he actually chimed in and attended the meeting virtually on his cell phone, parked out in a field in Bakersfield. They were studying about how they can reuse the water that they flood these farmlands out in Bakersfield and repump them and repurpose them and disinfect them for potable water quality. And also, I asked Mr. Eckhart to attend our January board meeting, because I know some of the board members and community members have a concern about paying their property tax line to the San Gregorio Pass Water Agency. And he will be attending the January meeting and provide some comments and open it up to questions from board members and the public. And that's my report for the San Gregorio Pass Water Agency Alliance meeting.
Okay. Thank you very much. Next item is the manager's report. Operations report.
It's pretty extensive. Since we have all these, the public and all the financial experts online, could I suggest to the board that maybe we table that until later and we can maybe address the Prop 218 and rate increase or a rate study and first?
Okay.
Can I make one suggestion beforehand? This is Director Morris.
Yes, ma'am.
I know that on the manager's report, you're going to report about coronavirus and who's closed and who's open. I don't know if you know, but as of tomorrow, City of Banning will be closed again to the public. It was in the newspaper tonight.
Correct. Okay. I think most of the, I think 80% of the counties in the state of California is back to purple, which is the
they've been open.
Yeah.
They've been open, and I know it's in your report, so I just wanted to make sure it was acknowledged that everybody would know.
Okay, so we want to go, we're going to go to old business and the water supply rate study. Is that where you want to go, Calvin?
Yes, and that way they can continue with their personal or professional commitments.
Okay. That sounds good to me. We'll open the floor to the representative for NBS to talk things up. You're on, NBS.
Yeah, so we performed a rate study for the district. We presented on September 15th. We presented to the board of directors the rate study alternatives that were developed in the study. We looked at actually one funding solution, really, for the agency, and what we looked at in the study was increasing rates by about 3% per year for the next 5 years. We also presented three separate rate design alternatives with various fixed and variable splits for your rates, your fixed and variable charges. The rate alternative that the board chose to proceed with was the 30% fixed, 70% variable option. And so those were the rates that were noticed to customers. There's nothing in the rate structure that's really changing. We're maintaining the monthly fixed service charges based on water meter size. And we have a uniform rate for non-single family residential customers, construction customers, a separate rate per unit of water for contract customers for the first 2 years of the rate planning period, and then the last 3 years it would switch over to the standard uniform rate for commercial multifamily and construction meters, and then we are maintaining a tiered rate structure for single-family residential customers. So at this time, we're here to answer any questions that the board or the public has about the rate study. But that, you know, we didn't prepare a lengthy presentation for tonight because this is a public hearing, so we're expecting to get public comment.
Okay. Is there any questions from the board members? Mrs. Morris?
No.
Mrs. Wargo?
I don't have any questions. I do have a comment, though. I have been thinking about this a lot. I'm not sure, since we're at a 70-30 currently and we're going to the complete inverse of that, it's just started to get me a little bit worried about people in that middle range, like how hard they're going to be hit. So I don't know if anybody else has had any other thoughts on that or any other directors had any other comments.
No, I do not have any. Mr. God, why do I do this every flipping time? Martin, do you have any comments or questions?
Just some way convince the people that it, for people that use the, it's just a comment, that use water, those people are well served by what we voted unanimously for. That's about all I can say, Ms. Wargo.
Okay.
Okay, from the general public, Mrs. Mariner, I know you have a lot to say. Remember that you have 3 minutes within reason, of course. You have a lot to say, and the floor is yours, ma'am.
Okay, first of all, my question is how many low consumption users, and was there a study done on the residents, and this is for the person that presented this rate study to the district, how many low consumption users are in the community of Cabazon? How hard is the middle class, the middle users going to be hit? Because me personally, my bill's going to go from $277 a month up to $500. And we're a family. So when you're talking low-end users, you're talking single-person households. When you're talking single-person households, how many is that actually in the town of Cabazon?
Who can answer that question about the level of consumption?
Right, so I don't have on hand the number of low water users compared to high water users. It varies throughout the year. It'll vary based on how much water is being used on a monthly basis. However, in this study, we did present bill comparisons for customers at various consumption levels, and your customers use, on average, very, very low amounts of water on a monthly basis. So we presented bill comparisons that went from someone using 3 units of water per month up to 100 units of water per month, and we also showed what average seasonal consumption statistics are. So on a, in the winter, your customers, your single-family residential customers use on average 6 units of water per month. On, if we look at annual average consumption, it's 9 units of water per month for a single-family home. And then in the summer, your single-family residential customers use approximately 13 units of water per month. For all of those customers, they will actually see a decrease in their bill with this new rate structure. If the customers that are using starting at 15 to 20 units of water per month, they will start paying more water, paying more for their water on a monthly basis, and then it will go up from there because the tiered rates. We're putting more emphasis on the volumetric charge, and so what happens is customers that are using a lot of water, so it's over 15 to 20 units of water per month, customers that are using more than that will start feeling the impact.
Okay, so first of when all, you, we don't measure our water as units. We measure it in cubic feet. So
well, when I say units, that it's 100 cubic feet. That is 1 unit of water. 100 cubic feet is 1 unit of water.
So in when publicized, it's being presented as units from your end and not being presented as cubic feet.
Okay. It's 100 cubic feet. That's the units of water. That's how the water is measured. So I would
really strongly urge the board to probably reconsider this hearing today and making a motion to approve this, because I can assure you we have a lot more residents here that have families and households versus somebody that has one person in their house that's only using 400 cubic feet of water or 600 cubic feet of water. I have a feeling you guys are going to kind of get rich on the public. Because I'm pretty sure I'm pretty accurate in knowing this community pretty well.
Okay, we will take that into consideration. Do you have any other questions or concerns, Mrs. Mariner, concerning this issue?
Jump in here real quick. Kayla.
What was that?
This is Kayla Mariner. Can I jump in?
Yes.
Okay. First off, you guys are targeting based off of usage, right? Shouldn't this be an even playing ground for everyone?
Secondly,
I said, shouldn't this be an even playing ground for everyone? Considering that you're going and striking, you're taking out the weight on middle class individuals who are probably already struggling to begin with. And think about this, $270 to $500, that's a car payment. I make $600 a week, guys. $600 a week. That's one weekly paycheck. That's 40 hours of work. 40 hours, full time, on top of handling college, okay? And you guys are going ahead and targeting certain groups based off of their usage. Is that really fair?
Well, would you like us to leave the rate the way it was?
Yeah. I wouldn't freaking go ahead and sit there and target certain groups.
And then the other when I was formerly on the board, the base rate was $45. I don't know why all of a sudden we got all crazy.
We have one person commenting at a time.
Base rate to $65. When it was 40, it was like 40 something. And then all of a sudden we shot up out of nowhere and then started charging like through the roof base rate. It just doesn't make sense. We go from 45 to 65 or 40 something to 65 back down to 28 or 20 whatever it is. This doesn't make sense. It's like almost like it in the in the appearance of the public, it almost looks like we're trying to, you know, sway certain groups for votes. Just doesn't.
We are a nonpartisan group. We do not do that. We're not trying to get votes from anybody.
Okay, well, an outsider looking
and
the,
for you to infer that is ridiculous.
Yeah.
The appearance of impropriety, it does look that way.
Well, what we've done, Mayor, why the base rate, can I speak? Why this is Director Wargo. So why the base rate, so it was at a 70% fixed and a 30% variable. And what we were looking at is that people who were not using as much water were then paying, you know, they were up there paying like the 74 as the rates get up. So what we were trying to do was go to a more consumption-based methodology of this. Can I ask, Carrie, like, I don't, you don't have to answer, but how many, like, what's your average, like, cubic, 100 cubic feet?
It varies. My bill, it varies. It goes from 1,500 up to 2,200, 2,300, 2,400, depending on if there's a leak. So the bill, this last bill this month would have been $500.
Because you have a leak.
Yep.
Well.
And I'm going to point something out as well, since we're talking about rates and usage. When my water meter, I kept coming in there screaming at you guys, saying, hey, something's not going on. This isn't right. Something's not right. I'm being overcharged. There's no way in hell I'm using this much water. And so in January, we replaced the water meter and put a brand new water meter in. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, my usage dropped by hundreds, and I mean hundreds of cubic feet every month. And I have proof of that. Hundreds. So
well, this is 3 minutes,
meter,
beyond 3 minutes.
The old water meter, Martin, don't even start with
Sanderson, me
right now.
Sanderson, you're well beyond 3 minutes.
Martin, she's asking questions about different points of the rate study.
Okay.
It's acceptable.
Okay. All right.
So the water usage dropped by hundreds of cubic feet every month once that rate or that meter was replaced. Okay. Which brought the water bill down. Which, thank God it did, because I'm paying your guys' car payments and insurance every month. So for me to sit here and have to pay your car payments and insurance every month, you know, and knowing that that did happen, frustrates the hell out of me. And no, I'm not your typical, you know, Ernie Saldana and you know, Teresa Bowie resident. I pay my bills.
There's no need to be talking like that in this venue. Mrs. Mariner, like you said, you were on the board. You knew the rules. You know the regulations.
Yeah, I do.
It was your obligation to have the meter checked. We went over this for over an hour and a half on the telephone when you called me on my own time. And I explained everything to you, which is not to your satisfaction, and I'm sorry about that. We understand that your concerns are. So what you're saying is you would rather we just charge everybody in the same in the community the same base rate and then a consumption charge on top of that. Is that what you're trying to get at?
Right. I don't understand why we can't go back to the 40-something dollars. That was a fair
because
price.
We have obligations that I explained to you, and we have the regulations we have to follow with our debtors and so on. When those numbers and those regulations change, we can do that. And until then,
okay, so
we can't.
You really not, you know, now we're really not making sense. Because we went from 40-something dollars up to 65, back down to 20. How does that make sense? If you're worried and concerned about your indebtors, and you're concerned about all of this, you are making absolutely no sense. Because now you're going from one spectrum completely to the other side, Mr. Link.
If I remember correctly, 5 years ago when we had this same discussion, you complained about the base rate being too high and it was going to be a burden on the public and the low-income people.
Let me finish, Mrs. Mariner.
Mrs. Mariner, you were allowed to speak. You have to let other people speak also. 5 years ago, you were in the meetings at the same time complaining that we were going to burden the low population, so now, or the low income. So now we try to revert it to help the low income and to basically, yes, penalize the water users and wasters. And now you're complaining. So
no, we're penalizing families, Robert. Families. That's what you're penalizing.
Then they need to conserve water. Water conservation is the key.
Okay, what is the average usage per person per month in the state of California?
It doesn't matter what the average usage is.
It does. It all does. You know why? Because I'm going to tell you right now, when this hits the newspapers, you're going to know why it does matter.
Well, that's what you told me 3 weeks ago. I haven't seen anything in the papers.
I'm just waiting for you to vote on it so that I can go do what I need to do.
Okay, thank you. Your time is, we've reached the end now. Okay. Okay, the next. Okay, so now that discussion is over. Is there any more from the public or the board that wants to make a comment?
I would just want to say this is Martin Sanderson. We voted on it already, and we had 3 months of this going on when people could have come in and made comments, but it still wouldn't have changed it because the way it is now, it's more fair. That's it. I'm done.
First of all, you're not allowed to vote on it without a public hearing. So if you did vote on that, Mr. Sanderson, now you're in violation.
We
had discussions.
We had discussions. So he used the wrong word. There was no malicious intent in that. Okay. Now, Mrs. Wargo, you have any more comments?
Clarification. So if I'm looking at 22 cubic hundred feet, and that's a leak, right? That's something that's high water usage. At the current rate, it would be $180. At the new rate, it would be $369. And so I was trying to do the math with the new rates to try to figure out where the 500 was coming from. I couldn't reproduce that. But we are, for such a low-income population, what we were trying to do was get back down to, we raised the rate, we got to a good point financially. We're still not at the perfect point financially, but we've raised the rates for so long. This is COVID, so we were trying to reduce it back down and bring it up to, if people were going to be using the water, then we could be, then they should be paying for the water. We're in the desert, it's a drought, it's... That was kind of the thinking behind that. So if the average usage of a resident in Cabazon is 600 cubic feet, that still falls within the first tier. And their bill would be substantially lowered. I know personally I have a family of four, and we usually fall within that first tier. We fall under that 700 cubic feet.
So here's my water bill from last month, 1,900 cubic feet, so 19 units. And I've got four horses, cats, chickens, dogs, and livestock.
And sprinklers running.
And sprinklers, watering trees and other things. So my bill is $135, so it's going to go up a little bit. It's the price of doing business. At least that's the way I see it. Okay. Any more comments from the management? Mr. Louie? Hello? Is anybody there?
I'm here.
I'm here, Robert. This is Ellie. I guess I had a question for Kim and Jordan. On page 21 of 32 of your NBS report, for the board members that have, or anybody that has the board packet, it would be page 114 out of 133.
Jesus.
I'll give everybody a minute. So... it's 114 out of page 133. For the NBS study, it's page 21 out of 32. But Kim and Jordan, I was looking at that page. It has a table 24, consumption by tier. If I'm looking at this right, is it 57, approximately 57% of the single family residences consume 700 or less cubic feet per month?
Let me get to that table, Ellie.
That's what it looks like to me.
It's labeled table 24.
Yeah.
Okay, so what table 24 is showing is total single family residential consumption and where that consumption breaks down by tier. So 57% of single family residential consumption is within tier 1, 23% is in tier 2, and 20% is in tier 3.
It would be safe to say then more than half of the single-family residences in Cabazon fall within that first tier.
That's what it looks like.
More than half of the consumption. So as far as bills go, you can have customers that are using water in tiers 2 and 3. So I don't have a count of how many customers like wind up using tier 3 and tier 2 water. Maybe Jordan has that. But she did run a little bit of research here as we're on the phone. And we only have, so in fiscal year 2018-19, which is the most recent year of consumption data we have 28 customers used over 50 HCF. That's to give you an idea of how many customers are actually using a lot of water. So 50 HCF is a lot on a monthly basis.
Did you say
for single family residential customers?
Did you say, did you say 50, 50 or 15?
50, so 50 cubic feet.
And how many?
But your average residential customer uses 9 units of water.
Now, for that 1,500 cubic feet, would that be commercial accounts, or is that single-family residential? Because it sounds like
it's
for a resident.
It might include both.
Okay, because it would surprise me if it was just a resident, but if it was like a construction meter or a business, that would make more sense.
So based on what I see on page 124 of 133, I don't have a table number here. Residential water consumption, current versus proposed, and 20 units, my bill's going to go up $60. Okay, so it's going to go up 50%. On average, but if I stay 15 below, the differential is going to be $5. So there to me is an incentive for me to cut my water down a couple hundred cubic feet. So. What do your concerns were the middle class? Is it still there, Mrs. Wargo, or the middle users?
Well, I'm trying to figure out. So 20% of 2,000 people, that's population of, I guess we have 1,000 connections. So 20% of that is going to be there that fall within that tier three are going to be the ones that are hardest hit.
Yeah, and that's if you'll notice on the that chart on 124, if they're into 30 units, their bill's going to double almost. Well, no, not quite double, but pretty close to double.
If they're at 30, I'm not seeing the table you're looking at.
It's 124.
Look on page 124 of 133.
For Kim and Jordan, he's talking about page 31 of 32. In the NBS report. But for anybody that has the board packet, it's page 124 of 133.
Oh, so at that 30 level is where the bill actually doubles from what it was. Okay.
Yeah, if you'll notice at the 20 cubic, yeah, at the 20 cubic feet, it's 50% increase.
Yeah.
And if you really want to break it down to it, 7.5 gallons per cubic foot, so that's 7,500 gallons or 750 gallons per unit. Think about it. That's a lot of water.
Hold on. Is this just the consumption rate, or is this the entire bill? Because when I just did it for Carrie for 2,200 cubic feet, it was $369. That's more than the 30 there.
Well, the 100.
So if I do it.
Go ahead.
So if I do it for 20, so.
Okay. Well, I'm looking at my water bill right here from last month. It showed 1,900 cubic feet of usage and a charge of $121.75. When I look at the 20 cubic feet, it's 132, so I'm presuming that's base rate and consumption rate together.
Yes, that's correct.
Right. So the 132 at 20 or 20 units versus my 121 at 19 units is really close. So
okay,
So my bill will go up. If I maintain this consumption of water, my bill is going to go up 50% on average. I'm just rounding numbers up. I'm not being totally, you understand where I'm coming from, but 45%.
So quick question on this. So 70-30, when we hit all of my water, if I use 2,000 cubic feet of water, my water that's from 0 to 700 cubic feet is still charged at $1.98. And then my water from 8 to 14 is still then at $8.31. It's not anything over 15. So if I have 1,500, it's an accumulation up to that point. It's not 15 times 15, 65. For that first year, for just the year 2021. Is that correct, NBS?
Okay, so with the first rate change, the tier breaks aren't changing. For anything up to 7 units of water, you would be paying $1.98 per 100 cubic feet. When you go above 7, so from 8 to 14 units, it's $8.31 per unit of water. And then above 14 units, it's $15.65 per unit of water.
So say if I use, let's just go 900 cubic feet of water, okay? So I'm charged the 7 at $1.98 per 100 cubic feet.
Right.
And then for the next 100 cubic feet where I go into the next tier, then I'm just charged $8.31, right?
Yeah, for 2 units. So, for the 200 cubic feet. So your total volumetric charge in that scenario would be $30.44. And then add that to the charge for a 5/8 inch. Do you have a 5/8 inch meter?
Yeah, I'm going off 5/8.
Okay. Then your total bill would be $55.73. So we show that in that chart on page 31 of 32. Of the report, and in that case, your bill would go down by almost $30 per month.
Okay. So that's still decrease in that tier 2 level then. So until you hit that tier 3 level, you're not going to see an increase, basically, almost, just about.
Yeah.
From the chart on 124. Okay. I'm sorry, Ms. Mariner, I spoke where I quoted the 369. That was wrong. That was incorrect now. So. Or for everybody.
No, I know. I did the math. Thank you.
Okay. Do we have any more questions or comments? Okay, I need an action from the board. Either we motion to approve or to deny.
Excuse me, start over again. This is Martin Link. Didn't we do this already? Approve it?
No, we picked a plan.
Okay, all right then. That's
we picked a schedule, and then we bring it up to the public for discussion.
Okay.
We take what they say and evaluate their concerns, and then make a decision of whether we want to go with what we decided based on public comment, or if we want to change it to one of the other two plans and start this all over again. Is that pretty much a good summary?
Yeah, that's decent. I move that we adopt NBS water rate study.
At the 3070 rating that we agreed upon?
The 30 being fixed and the 70 being variable. Yes, sir.
Okay. Is that enough information for you, Ms. Ellie?
Yes. And then just for the record, the 30% fixed charge would be the monthly meter charge. And then the 70% variable charge would be the water usage charge. And it would be broken down as presented in the NBS report in the board packet.
Okay. Do I have a second? Well, I guess this motion fails for lack of a second, which means we have to start the whole thing over again as far as picking one of the three rate studies. Okay. Next item on the I'd like to thank. Yeah, no, that's understandable.
I can't believe.
I would like to thank the people from NBS and the accountant for their time. I think the next action would be to move on to the manager's report. Well, Mr. Louie, do you have any? Is that okay with you?
That's fine with me.
Okay. And Ellie, you want to put that in the record that there was no second on the motion, so it failed?
Yes, I have it. Thank you.
Okay. In that note, you're going to have to put on the agenda to relook at the other two portions of the study to decide which one we want to go with, if we do. All righty?
All right, thank you. And then should we bid Kim, Jordan, and Cindy a nice evening and thank them for their time?
Well, that's kind of what I conveyed, unless they want to hang around and listen to us argue some more.
Thanks, ladies.
All right, thank you.
All righty.
Have a good evening.
Yes, ma'am.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Calvin, the floor is yours.
Well, this morning, I had encountered Director Morris at the post office, and the postmaster, Julie, stopped me and asked that we provide maybe some community service because apparently some of the Cabazon residents have been running their vehicle through her easement and planters and landscaping. So after a brief meeting with her out in the parking lot, I have directed our staff at their convenience to take the backhoe and place some big boulders across her across or a planter and in between the trees to prevent the Cavazon or whomever has been running her running through her parking lot. Noting the different tire marks, it's just not one individual. It's just apparently it's been just a multiple vehicles at random that's been going through her her property. I also responded to a water-related emergency at the northeast corner of Mountain View and Orange. I determined that we didn't have to call out a crew. I did put a barricade, an A-frame barricade over the leak, and when we dug it up, it was determined that it was gray water being discharged from the residence at the corner of Mountain View and Orange, and I will be sending them a notice that if this occurs again, they will be charged the $302 non-business hour water response. Any questions about those two items?
Nope.
No.
I was on mute. This is Director Morris. Pertaining to the post office, I don't have any large boulders, but we did recently do our leach lines, and I have some pretty good medium-sized ones here I can donate.
Okay. I'll take that into consideration. I was just going to send the crew up into Jensen Canyon, since we own that canyon, and pick up some rocks and some boulders.
Okay, well,
So ask the post office if they're going to give us a community service action of lowering our postal rates.
Ditto.
Hey.
Edison, PSPS, on the October 24th to the 27th, the County Riverside Emergency Management Department, EMD, in coordination with the SoCal Edison, issued a flash report providing updates to a public PSPS. Santa Ana winds were predicted to reach its top speed beginning Monday, October 26th through Tuesday, the 27th of October, triggering a PSPS monitoring and potential circuit power shutoff to the Cavazon area. I responded to Cavazon during the late evenings, early morning, to be physically present to take corrective actions for the water production and distribution system. One major concern is to ensure the 250 horsepower electric pump motor shaft does not backspin should Edison re-energize the circuits. As a reminder, the 250 horsepower electric pump motor spins that shaft between draws water between 700 to 1200 feet below the surface of the ground. When the electric pump motor receives no power, the shaft will start spinning backwards from all the water flowing back through the shaft. Should the Edison re-energize, there's a possibility of the electric pump motor spinning the shaft back the other directions. And this damaging functions are referred to as backspinning, causing severe damage to the shaft, impeller, bowls, casing, and other components. In the past history, the district did have an incident of backspinning at the production well. This was BC before Calvin. A portion of that shaft shot up through the pump motor's roof hatch. And I think in the manager report, I showed you an example of what some of the damage of backspin on the shaft does. Some of the precautions that have been installed are as follows. Power interruption, whether it's a surge or PSPS event, each production well facility must have a certified water operator manually inspect all the electric connections to ensure they are in order and that the pump water shaft or the water pump shaft is not spinning. Then the certified water operator shall open up the control panel to ensure all electric subbreakers are in the off position. Once that is accomplished and there is no visual evidence of damage, the main breaker will be reset with the subbreaker switched back on in the reverse order it was switched off. Any questions about that?
Yes. I would like you to look into seeing about a timer or something that if there is an interruption of power like that, that the system cannot be re-energized without somebody starting it. Or is this, do you understand where I'm coming from? Until all this is done. So like a latching switch that has to be manually reset. I can go over it with you.
That's basically based on what the equipment that we currently have. Generator, the diesel generator at well 2, that has been disabled. And also when the automatic, I think I know what you're speaking of, it re-engages or when there's power, I have bypassed that where it takes a human being to actually see and observe all those damages and the shaft is not spinning, and then we go and reset all the subbreakers and the main breaker.
Okay.
And if you'd like to take a tour, I can show you, you know, the configuration. Basically, it's just that you got to manually reset things.
Okay, that's all I'm after, because I understand what you're saying with that column of water just falling down. If that thing starts back up, it's like driving your car in reverse and slamming it in drive. And
correct,
all kinds of stuff gets messed up. Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? The NG, the representative, Amelia, who is their business development associates and their engineer is Aju. He's the senior manager. Recently toured our facilities for solar and battery backup. The newly acquired partial earmark for the district yard, which is at Pecan and Main Street, unfortunately did not qualify because there's no electric power usage history attached to that parcel.
Okay, come on.
So this site was, I'm sorry, is there a question?
No, I'm sorry. No. I'm getting my dog inside. The coyotes are out.
Okay. So this site is disqualified, but all other existing facilities do qualify. There was a feasibility assessment data, and I think Ellie and I had some conflict. They had some conflict, and I correct me if I'm wrong, Ellie, we're going to reschedule that. Is that correct?
Yes.
So are there any questions about that?
No, not on my part.
No.
On November 8th, we had a pre-construction meeting. Myself, Dave Winnie, who's our lead, along with the district engineer from K&S, Chuck Krieger, his project manager, Travis, and his on-site inspector, Mike Krause, met with Keith Kohler from Legend Pump and Well, and Ryan Simpson, of Simpson Sandblasting and Special Coating Incorporated. Those were the two entities that the board was awarded the contracts to. The following procedures were established in the pre-construction conference. Both contracts were awarded on 10-20-20. Both contracts were executed by the district on the following day of this meeting, which was the November 9th, 2020. Legend has 140 calendar days after the date of notice to proceed, earmarked for November 10th. Simpson has 60 calendar days after the date of notice to proceed, earmarked for the same date, November 10th. Legend and Simpson, their kickoff date was yesterday at Well 1 and Tank 2, Tank 1. There's enough real estate there for both entities to work separately and freely. So the painters, the recoders have all their equipment stored over towards the east, northeast of the tank, and Legend has all their equipment and cranes stored near the southwest portion of the well house. Liquidation damages is $1,000 per day. This is a prevailing wage project. And then the guarantee on completed work is 1 year after the final date of acceptance. One of the some of the adjustments that we made to the work hours will be was 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. instead of 8 to 5. And on Friday, when we're closed, I will be responding if the on-site manager or on-site inspector from Krieger and Stewart is unable to open up, unlock the gates. And I think, Ellie, did you ever resolve the temporary alarm code with Stanley?
I believe we discussed this earlier, but I need to give them a call tomorrow. So we're still working on it.
Yeah. Okay. Both contractors will coordinate their activities with, we'll go through the on-site inspector, and then the office, and K&S office will then contact the district for final approval of any change orders. One of the change orders that was suggested was we're going to have Simpson take a look at some of the damages to tank 2 and tank 4 and ascertain if they can patch some of those erosion from the wind and the bullet marks that had put dents in the tank. We just want, as being that the primer is exposed, we just don't want rust. And so we're going to ask them to go look at that and give us a quote. Other than that, is there any questions about that?
Nope.
Okay, as mentioned before, the coronavirus, the district will continue to restrict the public from entering into the lobby and pay the water bills through the transaction window. The options they have is they can remotely pay on the website, or they can come and drop their payment at our Dropbox on the west side of the facility. I give everybody a friendly reminder that when questions come up about can the virus enter into the water, just let them know that, you know, based on the measured dose of sodium hypochlorite, which kills 99.9% of the bacteria and viruses in their drinking water. And as of November 11th, there's been 70 confirmed cases of COVID-19 in Cabazon, one death, and 65 out of the 70 recovered. And that's on the Riverside County Public Health website as of November 11th. Any questions about that?
No.
Nope.
I gave you guys a memorandum regarding my Tesla and the weather. Did you guys get to review it? And are there any questions about that?
No questions.
Basically, just giving the reader's digest. Apparently, there was. Hang on, I'm trying to get the dates right here. On November 8th, apparently there was a failure at remotely starting well 2 and well 5 because the trend I had thought it was the transducer failure, which is installed at the bottom of each water tank, and in this case it's tank 2, which is the 1 million gallon tank we have on the north end of Millard, and is the middle tank between the tribe and Desert Hills' previous 1 million gallon tank. Based on the water level, is set to stop at 29 feet. Overflow is 31 feet, and then it starts up at 27 feet. And then it triggers both well 5 and well 2. Well 2 is located at the Robertson cement plant, and well 5 is on Seminole on the south end of the outlet. Apparently, after we had Bird come out to respond, it was determined that the transmitter that transmits the signals to well 2 and well 5 and to the SCADA at the station at the headquarters did not reset, and that could have been a power surge or a power outage or temporary, having no power, and it did not reset. The Bird technician showed me how to reset it, and he said if it continues, then probably we'll have to replace the transmitter. And that has been repaired since, and it's working fine as of last night. Any questions about that?
No.
Public educational video that has hit a speed bump, and we will discuss the speed bump when we get to the FedForge webmaster. I still intend on continue to produce these little 2.5 minute videos. I think it would maybe. Educate the public and to see what we do behind the scene to get that safe and reliable drinking water to their tap. And any questions about that issue? And well, as I said, I'll expound on what the speed bump is with when we get to the FedForge website. Item on the agenda. Today, I think y'all may remember Hazel Pasillas. Her payment plan and the agreement has been executed as of today. Pecan and Main Street, commonly known as the Hadley Ice House, which is our new property. On Tuesday, November 3rd, myself and Dave Wooney, our lead, met with a gentleman named Vincent from the County of Riverside Facility Management. He met us at the Main Street Yard and basically advised us what the county expects in cleaning that and removing debris from the Main Street Yard. I am still working on the permit that we put in an application with the County of Riverside Department of Building and Safety, and I will probably go physically visit that entity next week to ensure that they, because Ellie has tried, I have tried, and we received no answer in regards to the progress of the permit, the electric permit that we need from the county. Ellie, have you heard anything?
No, I called and left a message today, but I haven't heard anything. But I don't know if you've tried contacting them since your last email about a month or so ago.
Yes, I tried several times. Anyway, as I said, next week I'm going to go visit their office in downtown Riverside. The district is earmarked on or before the end of March 2021 to be relocated at the new Pecan Main Street Yard. So any questions about that? Chick-fil-A, yes, and Krieger and Stewart has completed their comments. Dave and I have reviewed them. We've made some comments and suggestions, and it's been now finalized, and we have sent them to the engineers at Chick-fil-A for their review. Any questions about that?
Yeah, where are they proposed putting it?
It's at the old Hadley, retail store.
Oh, okay.
And the only major changes is they wanted their water connection off of where it dead ends, where the, I think it's, what's that? At 50s, the restaurant.
Ruby's
Diner. And we're suggesting that since to put it back or actually install it, the water connection at the original place of their Hadley lot, which is off of Apache Trails, north of Seminole. And plus, they're going to be, we've also required them to enlarge Apache to a 8-inch line instead of this. No, it's actually a 10-inch line over the 8-inch line and a couple new hydrants, and that should benefit the that portion of the neighborhood. And we're just waiting for any pushback or comments. Okay, enterprise license for host server. On November 11th and November 2nd, there was a power failure here in California, in Cabazon. General manager work log data indicates that on Monday, November 2nd, between midnight and 1:45, I received a call from our Accent IT technician, and his name was Ian, system technician with Accent Computer Solution, and they also have people that are on call 24 hours monitoring not only ours, but all the other customers, the computer systems. And he asked if I would respond and meet an IT technician, or could they respond during regular business hours? Based on the, I told them that since it was like 1 a.m. and there wasn't really much going on, and based on the water production trends, coupled with the temporary demand due to the I-10 resurfacing project, which was shut down, I just advised them to come on in at between 6:30 or 6 and to 4:30 the following or that business day. And what they suggested was, and I have approved it, is an iDrag, which is iDrag. I think it's Sanford Integrated Dell Remote Access Controller. iDrag is a piece of hardware that sits on the server's motherboard that allows system administrators to update and manage Dell system, and our main server is a Dell, even when the server is turned off and not receiving any power. Now, iDrag also provides both a web interface and command line interface that allows administrators to perform remote management tasks. The district main server, as I said, is a Dell. The following facts were considered prior to me approving the $437.29 purchase. There are occasions where the district's backup battery to the main server depletes and management is researching the financial resources for a longer lasting backup battery. And basically we're looking towards the solar and backup batteries currently being studied in the study phase by NG. Another consideration was extended PSPS event and maintenance period. Our backup battery generally lasts only 3 to 4 hours. The cost of having a district personnel respond to administrative facilities, the cost of fuel and operating a district service vehicle, if it's an employee in the bargaining unit, there's a minimum 3 hour pay at time and a half plus mileage to and from the location. So I, in my opinion, I feel the $437 and change is well spent. Any questions about that? Okay, and that is my report.
Okay, thank you very much. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, what a thorough report. Thank you, Calvin.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Word for word.
Okay, next item is updates. Customer concern, Elizabeth Meffelton, development project on Hattie.
Hello, can you hear me?
I hear you.
Hello. Okay. This is my first time attending a board meeting like this, and thank you for making the time to hear me. I'm a real estate agent and a recent investor in Cabazon, so I'm brand new there. It was my very first project building on raw land, and I kind of hit a pretty big wall during construction when I was getting ready to go ahead and move forward with putting the utilities on. And I was told that the quote I was given initially when I was doing my initial research was a big difference from when it actually came down to going ahead and putting the water onto that land. I submitted a copy that shows where the piece of land is that I purchased and that I wanted to develop compared to where the water ends, the center of 400 feet. And I wanted to see if I can maybe just get some clarity on why it would be so expensive to, you know, pull water that far. I was quoted $30,000 just for the engineer plan. And while I know engineers are pretty expensive, I mean, it's a pretty straight shot to where I wanted to go. And I'm a pretty small individual trying to make a little bit of money. Obviously, $60,000 would be nearly impossible to invest in a project like this. So I just wanted to see if you had any feedback on anything that I could do to reduce that cost or to further encourage other investors to, you know, develop land in Cabazon. Just any feedback that you might have on that or ways that we could go around having to pay such a high price for putting a water meter on that land.
Calvin, can you elaborate on that?
If she would be willing to come in, I'll be willing to meet with her and we can discuss it. I'm having a real hard time hearing her for some reason. I don't know if it's on her end or but she's real garbled.
Okay. Well, one of her concerns was the total bill comes out to run a water line. And I'll be honest with you, I'm trying to see what it is. But you were it's $60,000 to run a water line from, I'm presuming,
from
the
end
of
the street. Yeah, the corner of Hattie, about 390 feet or 360 feet. I can't remember exactly, but it's about six lots in.
Okay. Those are all 10-acre parcels, I presume, or 5-acre?
No, they're small parcels. They're only about 5,000 or 6,000 square feet each.
Oh, okay. So the now this is at the corner of Hattie and near Elm or Hattie and Lemon?
Hattie and Elm.
Okay.
So the water line goes right there to the corner of Hattie and Elm, and I just wanted a straight shot, six lots in, to where I purchased my lot.
So basically, Calvin, she needs an explanation why $31,000 for engineering deposit. And I think that's the biggest part of that question.
So basically, just off the top of my head, if you develop now, you know, any developer, not just you, but anybody who develops in Cabazon has to meet the minimum standards of our current drawings. And between engineering and the 8-inch C900, 8-inch pipeline, which is the smallest, the smallest diameter we allow, requires, there's engineering, there's fees, and there's staff time, and then there's parts and labor to install the water line. And also, if you're crossing any other undeveloped land as they develop, you know, the board will work with you based on what engineering and legal advice from legal. You will be reimbursed a portion of what you've invested in running that line.
Yeah, and I understand that, but I guess where my confusion lies is even the materials and the labor, which is usually the most expensive part of developing land, is not even the biggest part. It's an engineer to draw a line from the end of Hattie to my lot, which is a straight line. So I'm just curious as to why that would be $40,000.
Well, any portions of your when you're putting the deposit, put in your trust fund, and what our engineers will do is that they will plan check whatever plans that your engineers have drawn. It's just like, I don't know if you're listening to the Chick-fil-A. You know, their engineers submitted a plan, and after we reviewed it, we sent it to our engineer for their comments, which included our comments and suggestions. And then the engineer, after they're finalized with it, they would send it. They sent it back to Chick-fil-A. And that's how, basically, on a smaller scale, your development project would be. That's, you know, the same procedure, except at a smaller scale.
Right. So, but when you're talking about constructing on a piece of land, but that's a lot of cash that you're taking out of the project and holding. In the hopes that you're going to get some of that back. And I just think it's a huge amount for a straight line. I mean, I've done other projects before. I've hired engineers for different projects. And to me, that seems excessive. And I just don't know if there's a way for a developer like me to come up with a payment plan, some sort of something to make it easier for someone to develop there. I mean, I'm not, you know, a millionaire investor investing in Los Angeles. I'm, you know, a small-time person investing over in Cabazon. So for me to take $40,000 out of my cash flow to just give to the engineers to hold to maybe get some of that back is really difficult.
Well, is the, we appreciate you we appreciate you developing here in Cabazon, especially as a residential development. So, you know, we can barter back and forth, but I would suggest maybe if you can arrange for an appointment with me, and we can go walk the site and actually sit down and discuss your concerns, and I'll show you what our standards and requirements are, and maybe, you know, I can have the board approve a lesser amount on the deposit.
Absolutely. I would love that. What was your name?
Calvin Louie. I'm the general manager.
Calvin Louie. Okay. Yeah, okay. I would love that. I'll do that. I know mine is kind of a one-off, but I also sell a lot of land in Cabazon. So if there's a way to make it easier for other people to develop as well, I mean, I think that would go a long way in us being able to help the city grow as well.
Yeah. Well, the one thing to remember is if your engineer comes up with all the plans that meet the standards, the engineering deposit is basically it's like a retainer. Just like when you pull your permits down at the county, they say, well, you need to put a deposit down of this much, and then after we go through plan check and stuff, because the engineering, because we don't have an in-house engineering and planning department in our little district, we outsource that. So the engineering department, with, you know, that's a, like, to me, that's a lot of money to look at a set of drawings and draw a line. I agree. But they have to make sure that whether they have to put a hydrant in there because of fire flow, blah 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 blah. But when I'm thinking that can be negotiated down as far as the retainer per se, because everything is going to be fee based. In other words, if they put an hour in and you get all of that money back because they only took an hour to do all of that work per se. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I'm okay with that. I know there's a lot of unknowns. I just it just seemed like a lot, and it just killed my project.
Yeah, and then as far as the water line goes, I'm not sure if this is true or not. Calvin can correct me, but if you have a contractor that meets our standards and has all of the water operator permitting to do municipal lines to put it in, and it saves you $5 or whatever, I think that's allowable, but you'll need to converse with Calvin about that also.
Okay.
Because I'm like you. I'm a tightwad. I have 5 acres that I want to subdivide, and I'm going to pay real close attention to what happens with you.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay. You have any other questions, ma'am?
No, I think that's it. Thank you very much.
All righty. Great. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
Ma'am, this is
Yes.
Louie, the general manager. I have some conflicts tomorrow and some previous appointments. If you can call maybe Thursday, the office, and we can arrange for an appointment.
Okay, sure. I can do that.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.
Next item is the Cal Mutual ballot selection. I think this is kind of a no-brainer, isn't it? There's only one candidate.
I just wanted board approval. I advise Cal Mutual, if we didn't have a majority approval, then I would contact them tomorrow immediately to tell them to pull the ballot. But due to the time frame, they're voting the same thing as this afternoon today. So it was kind of an urgent rush to get the ballot in.
Okay, I need a motion.
I guess I better give a motion on Cal Mutual's JPRIMA ballot selection for Jim
Byram.
Byram. This is Sanderson.
Yeah. I second that motion. This is Director Warga.
I have a motion to approve the Cal Mutual's J Prima ballot selection for Jim Byram, made by Director Sanderson, seconded by Director Wargo. Director Sanderson?
Aye.
Director Morris?
Aye.
Director Wargo?
Aye.
Director Israel is absent. Director Link?
Aye. Next item is web development. My understanding, Calvin, is you're not happy with the web developer and you want to move on. You want to try and find somebody else?
That's correct. That's as with any other vendor, after a while, they get comfortable. I think two examples, remember I spent almost a year and a half litigating or arguing, bickering with Stanley Alarms, and now, again, based on today's experience of having them issue a temporary pull to their alarm for the on-site inspector from Krieger and Stewart, they're sitting there giving Ellie the runaround. I don't see how a temporary passcode would take for near almost 2 days, because I think that's what they had advised her, right? Was you started this morning and now they said we'll get back to you tomorrow. Is that the correct statement, Ellie?
No, I called them yesterday and said I needed a code to work yesterday, and they said they had it. And then I called today because somebody told me the code wasn't working, and they told me there was an issue on their end. They escalated the ticket. I'm supposed to call tomorrow to see if it's resolved.
And we have the same experience with our insurance agent. We were purchasing health insurance from her, and Ellie worked at getting us with Blue Shield, and I think that that matter was approved by the board. But I won't mention any names, but the lady, we were with her for the first 10 years I was here, and she just got comfortable, and she even admitted to Ellie that she just got comfortable and lackadaisical about our account. So I think it's time to shake the doors on Fedford. It's been pretty near 28 days since we first approached them about downloading the videos, the public educational videos, and I realized even though it's a 2.5 minute video, it's still a large file, and I appreciate and I understand that there are technical difficulties, and as I've always said, technology is great only when it works. But 28 days of them battering back and forth, and some days, you know, we'll wait several days to almost a couple of weeks before they'll respond back. And as I said, I think it's time to search out a new vendor. And I would like, I think if this is, let's see if this is an action item. Yeah, it's for the board to vote and direct management to seek out a new vendor for our webmaster. And what I plan to do, if I do get an approval from the board, I'll start, Ellie and I and have reached out to Accent. She's done that for me, and we're both going to shop around. We'll put out, I think there is a, I know there is a rule that allows a county water district not to have to issue RFPs. If that's the case, I'll just grab a couple potential webmasters, and Ellie's waiting for Accent to return, and we'll just maybe we'll just make a decision based on you know, management will provide a recommendation to the board, and you guys can make your decision sometime next week or next year, and we would really engage with them to execute the contract onto the next fiscal year budget. But now is the time to start shopping and looking.
Well, I don't think they need a board's action on that. I think that's more an administrative role. It's just a matter when it comes to the contract, and we go from there.
Okay.
So my
that's fine.
Okay.
Okay. Well,
so
if I have a consensus of the board.
I think it is. Okay. But now you we proceed to old business, the billing system software quote for an upgrade.
Well, yes, this is a follow-up on the Chairman Link to contact Smartphone Meter Reading, a subsidiary of Datamatic Incorporated. I spoke with a regional sales manager, Chris Kircher, and based on his comments, management does not recommend the district continues to pursue this product based on the following facts. First of all, he was on his vacation, and he just asked me some preliminary questions, and off the top of his head, he said, with less than 900 water meters to be read, the setup fee is $2,100. And then he thought there would be an annual cost of $2,000 with two person reading the water meters. And he also said that stated that the district iPhone 6 Plus were compatible with his firm's software. However, the catch is he had asked what was the parameters of transferring the data, because they have no software for billing or even their work orders. So in other words, we would still have to depend on CUSI for to calculate the usage and put out the bills and manage the work orders. So this is the reason why management is not recommending we go with the smartphone.
Okay. And what do you recommend?
Well, the CSI cost for the package is $10,858, which includes the software for two district cell phones to read water meter, and it is the current utility software the district uses. If the district did not want to upgrade the CUSI billing system, but only wanted the meter reading technology, it would be, I'm trying to read my notes here. Um, if we use the district phones, it's just the additional charge would be $150 per month for the two meter reading application that can be installed into the two district phones. So based on the, I don't have the proposal from CSI in front of me, but CSI not only is our current software, and but they also have the same features of using a smartphone. In our case, it'd be the district's iPhone to read the meters as long as there was an internet connection. And I think Ellie had made, I think you said Cindy had made a comment about the price of CSI.
Yeah, so if the board wanted, so this quote includes everything. This is the whole utility billing system upgrade. So I just want to make a note of that. If the board doesn't want to upgrade the whole system, which the board doesn't have to approve it, that's fine. But I did some shopping around, and I talked to our accountant, who has several other clients that use different billing systems, just to see if it would be better to go with another company, what the price range, what the service for the price would be. And she said, hands down, CUSI. She looked at the quotes, and she said, okay, CUSI is the best price. I'd stick with CUSI. I did get some quotes from other billing companies, but they were much more expensive than CUSI. But if the board just wanted the main key here is that we need to be able to read meters every month. One, as I explained last board meeting, one of the handheld meter reader machines is not working correctly. So we're down to one instead of two, which makes it harder on our guys to read meters in a timely fashion. So if the board just wants to approve adding on the meter reading app, I don't have the exact price. I know it's $150 a month for the two apps. I don't know off the top of my head, and I'm not seeing it in the contract, what the charge would be just for that. I don't know if it's only $150 or if they'd charge $1,000 to set it up. I don't know. But it certainly wouldn't cost $10,000. The $10,000 is if we're getting the meter reading capabilities and we're upgrading the whole billing system, which the billing system itself will need to be upgraded eventually. But if the board wants to hold off for a while, then that's fine. I just want it to be clear to the board.
Quick question. So for the $150 a month, right, we get a phone app. Is that what I'm hearing?
Correct.
Yes,
the two. They're $75 each a month.
Okay.
Sorry, Ellie.
So it's $1,800. And how? I guess this is where I'm confused. Is how is that enhancing the meter reading?
So right now, we have two machines that the guys use for meter reading. Pulls up the meters, it pulls up the accounts, they enter in the meter reads into these machines, and then these machines are brought back to the office and it's uploaded into the billing system. One of the machines is broken. It's old. We contacted CUSI to see if they could repair it, but they said that those machines are outdated and they're no longer being supported. Other companies have told me the same thing, that everybody is going to the meter reading apps on smartphones. So this $75 or $150, excuse me, $150 a month would be for this app, which replaces those outdated meter reading machines. It would be an app that would go on the phone, and then it would automatically connect the meter reads into the billing system. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So you wouldn't have to download from the, it would download over the internet basically.
Yes.
So if when it goes and reads my meter, that information is basically going to get sent straight to the office per se, and he doesn't have to go in and re-download it. It's kind of automatic.
I'm not sure of the nitty-gritty details, but it would download into the system.
So one of the meter readers is still going out to the box. They're still looking at the box physically with their own eyes. They're entering the number into the app, right? And then they're not, like, writing it down and then going back to the office and then data entering it, or somebody's data entering it.
Are you talking about currently or with the
current app? Like, currently with the one that they have, right?
So with the
or with
currently,
this app. Yeah, how does this app make it better?
Okay, so it takes two of our guys to read the meters, and they'll get them all read in one day. Currently, because one of the machines is down, one guy goes and reads meter with the working machine, and then the other guy goes and reads meters with, they're called route sheets, but it's basically a printout of all the meters that should be on the second machine. And the guys are handwriting the meter reads onto this paper. And then when both guys are finished, they bring the read. The one guy brings his working machine to the office, and it downloads everything into the computer. The other guy brings his route sheet, the handwritten meter reads, to the office. And then Ellen has to manually enter all of the meter reads into the computer. So it does take a lot longer for her to enter everything in. And then whilst Ellen's pretty good, I'm not going to say she makes a lot of mistakes or she makes
it's human error. Yeah.
But yeah, there's that chance of human error. So far we've been pretty good, but whenever you have to re-enter and re-enter it, there is that human error element that is a possibility.
Yeah, and I guess that's what I'm trying to figure out is if they're going, they're not, it's not something that reads off the machine manually. It's they have to enter the number physically, right? They're just entering it into the computer instead of, it's not like scanning the meter. We're not that high tech, right?
No.
To where it just automatically goes into the thing. Okay.
No, if we upgraded the billing system, the guy was telling me that you could take a picture of the meter. Like, you're
nice
still going to have to enter the reading, but you could take a picture of the meter. So if there was a discrepancy, you have a picture. There's supposed to be more technology involved. That's if you wanted to pay the 10 grand for the meter reading technology and upgrading the billing system. But if you just want the meter reading technology only, it's a lot cheaper. And I don't know. I don't think it'll take the picture. I mean, you can take a picture off the work phone, but I don't think it'll take a picture and then upload that picture into the billing system too.
They won't transpose it and read that image out. Okay.
Correct. We're not that advanced. Yeah.
Yet. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
No more questions. I don't have any.
Martin, do you have any questions?
No, sir. I do not.
Diane?
No, I do not.
Okay, so which way do we want her to proceed? Do we want to go with the upgrade of the software and use the app, or just the app, and then look at the software upgrade later on?
Just using the app means the 75 or 150, right?
Right. Miss Ellie, a question. If we upgrade the software, do we still have the monthly subscription fee?
Yes, there would still be the monthly subscription fee. Just to make things clear to the board, I'm just trying to make everything completely transparent. CUSI is offering a temporary discount since we have the old system, and this new system is still fairly new. So if the district did upgrade, they'd give us a discount of about, and I'm rounding here, of about $4,900. The total invoice amount would still come to just under $11,000. So it would still be expensive if we're purchasing the meter reading app and the billing system. together. But they did tell me that this discount, this $4,000, $5,000 discount, it's not going to be there forever. So if we wanted to upgrade the billing system down the road, it may be much, it may be an extra $5,000. But I don't know. They might keep this discount for a while yet. And like I said, it is a lot of money. So if the board just wants the meter reading app, that's fine with me. That's basically what we really need right now. That's more of the necessity than anything else. The billing system upgrade is, it's going to be needed at one point, but it's not an absolute necessity right now.
Okay. Thank you for that information.
Do you want to, if everybody wants to look at page 130 out of 133, is the sales agreement and the discounts that Ellie is referring to is the 2020 CDSW to UMS software and service discount of $2,876.50. And then there's the turnkey merchant service discount of $2,000. So, yes, it's just under $5,000.
Okay, I need a motion one way or another from somebody on the board, please.
This is Director Wargo. I make a motion that we approve the purchase of the app for both units.
This is Martin. I second the motion.
All right, so I have a motion to purchase the two apps. So just the meter reading device app made by Director Wargo, second by Director Sanderson. Director Sanderson?
Aye.
Director Morris?
Aye.
Director Wargo?
Aye.
Director Israel is absent. Director Link?
Aye.
Perfect. Thank you, everybody.
So now the last thing is name the dinosaur.
So I have reached out to Dollar General. The store manager, Kelly Eichmann, she gave me the number for corporate. I've called a few times. I've gotten no response. I would say that we're probably just good to move forward with this using the donations that Calvin got.
Okay. Okay. I don't think that sounds good to me. I don't think we actually need to vote on it. It's more of a consensus of progressing or proceeding.
May I make a suggestion?
Sure.
Okay. I'm assuming that the Director Wargo just wants to go with the In-N-Out Burgers value guest meal cards of $9 each. We have 8 of them. I think it's a little close if we're going to try to promote or market this contest. I would suggest maybe, since we already have the meal cards, maybe perhaps we can target for Easter, and that way the community can come out in good weather, and hopefully the COVID crisis will be over with, and we can have them within reasonable, or we can have the field crew go out and decorate the dinosaur as a rabbit or whatever the board decides. And also, Dave Looney finally inserted the eyes on the dinosaur, too. So that might be a consideration for the board is would be target this for Easter. Well, not on Easter, but Easter week.
Sounds good.
Sounds good to me also.
Ladies?
I have this is Director Morris. I have an Easter bunny suit that we can get somebody in as well if you'd like.
Do you fit in it, Mrs. Morris?
Do I fit in it? I'm too fat.
You talk an Easter basket?
Maxine,
Easter. I have an Easter bunny outfit. I do also have Easter baskets and Easter eggs.
Well, you know, maybe we can, as a suggestion to the board, maybe the original ad hoc committee can, you know, meet with me between now and March, and we can, you know, make some plans or have a program.
I would be happy to offload these Easter eggs at the water company. I also have large Easter eggs. We can maybe go to the dollar store or something. Even I can do it. Buy like 20 little stuffed animals and put them in the super large eggs I have. Those can be given away also.
Well, it sounds like a plan to me.
Sounds good.
Perfect.
To me.
Okay, so we're...
We don't need 10,000 eggs, do we? Because that's what I have.
No.
I got stuck with them all from last year. We couldn't do an Easter egg hunt.
Now we'll reach out after the first year, next year, to arrange for an ad hoc meeting, and we can finalize this and take it to the board. That way I have at least 2 months to... notified, you know, put out a press release and make all the arrangements.
Okay.
All right. Sounds like a plan. Public comment? None. So for a future board agenda, we have the rate study again. We need to go over what we have to determine which plan we want to go with. And how is this going to work as far as the holiday goes?
For the rate study, this is Ellie. Might I suggest, so for the rate study, the board's probably going to want to choose, like, what breakdown, if you guys want to stick with the 30-70, if you guys want to change that. But the board won't be able to make a decision until we first post the notice to all customers. We sent a notice in the bills, monthly bills last time. And then I think there's like a 45-day waiting requirement time period that must be met from when we first issue the notices up until when the board can actually have a board meeting and approve a rate structure. So if the board wants us to, well, the board will have to decide what rate structure they want to work with first. I'm assuming that would be in the December meeting at earliest.
Well, yeah,
and
that was
my
point, yeah.
Okay, and then if you guys make a decision on what direction you want to go in December, then we can send notices in the December bills, and then it would have to be either late January or the February regular board meeting. You'd either have to have a special board meeting or the February board meeting would be the earliest that you could approve the new rate.
Okay. So why don't we, on the next board meeting, we set it up on there to review the proposals from NBS again and pick one
again,
and then do the whole process over again. Okay? Does that sound acceptable to everybody?
Yeah. The only thing we can do.
Ellie, the next board meeting in December will be September 15th, right? Or December 15th.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess that's it for our
our meeting here.
Yep.
Can I have a motion? Is there any management comment or any management comment or director's comments?
No.
None for me. What about you, Ellie?
The only comment I have is I think Calvin would make a great Easter bunny if he fits the costume. No comment.
I second that.
Get the ears.
Okay. Sounds like fun. Okay. Future board meeting, finance and audit workshop on the 15th. The general board meeting is on the 15th. No personnel committee, and then the Water Alliance shows November 25th. Is that still a go, Calvin?
Yes, it is, as far as I know.
Okay. All right.
Is it going to be in person or over the phone?
No, it'll be virtual.
Is there a way I can get that information?
Yes. If you're not on the agenda, I'll get a hold of Joe Zoba, who's the GM for UHIPA. He's the one that puts out the invites. I'll make sure you're on the list, on the mailing list.
Thank you.
Okay. I need a motion for adjournment.
Director Morris, I make the motion to adjourn.
I second the motion, Sanderson.
All right, I have a motion to adjourn at 7:58 p.m. made by Director Morris, seconded by Director Sanderson. Director Sanderson?
Aye.
Director Morris?
Aye.
Director Wargo?
Aye.
Director Israel is absent. And Director Link?
Aye. Thank you, everybody, for your time, patience, and everything else. And have a happy and safe day tomorrow.
Thank you, Link.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Yeah, everybody have a good Thanksgiving.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Thanks. Hey,
Ellie, are you going to be in the office tomorrow?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'll try and swing by tomorrow and sign papers.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
All right. You have a great day. Bye.
You too. Thanks. Bye.